Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, the big news today is that DeAndre Hopkins is a Kansas City Chief. Traded from the Titans to the Chiefs early this morning. That news came down literally about 5 minutes before Seth and I went on the air this morning. Looking up at the TV screen right now, and they've got big injuries in the receiving core with Juju Smith-Schuster now out. Rashee Rice is out for the year with a knee injury. Hollywood Brown is out with an injury that, as you just mentioned to me off the air, Seth, James Palmer reporting he may be back later this year, Hollywood Brown.
And he's
obviously a speed guy that would complement Hopkins really well.
So DeAndre Hopkins has 11 regular season games to get comfortable in that offense. Yeah. And he's saying, James Palmer's saying that he's told there's a real chance Hollywood Brown could return by the time of the playoffs.
Okay.
And then I think Isaiah Pacheco is going to come back
too,
most likely.
Yeah.
So that's, they're for a team that's 6-0 right now and yet, does not look like the version of the Chiefs that we've seen in the past. They've got reinforcements coming.
They do.
Andy, I think DeAndre Hopkins, Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes are going to utilize DeAndre Hopkins at this stage in his career where he's 31 years old and not the same guy he used to be. They're going to get more out of him than most other teams in the NFL.
It's a good pickup for them. They need it. They're giving up, reportedly, depending on how you look at it, a conditional fifth or fourth. It's a fifth that could go to a fourth, depending on – I'm guessing certain playing time parameters. I'm guessing the Chiefs don't need to have a AFC title game or Super Bowl incentive in there to make the trade worth it. They tend to make that every year.
Yeah, we were talking about this. There doesn't seem to be a standard reporting on the conditional pick when you call it. I always thought that you use – so, like, Schefter reported this as a conditional fourth-round pick,
yeah,
which means that if the conditions are met, it's a fourth-round pick. If not, it's a fifth-round pick. I feel like depending on which way you want to frame it, some people are calling it a conditional fifth round pick.
Yeah.
So probably depends on the likelihood of whatever the conditions are.
Yeah, I just know Devontae Adams was reported as a conditional third. And it could become a two, if he makes all pro or the Jets, he's active for an AFC title game or a Super Bowl, whatever the case may be, in fourth or fifth round, who cares? They got DeAndre Hopkins now for a day three pick. And this is the third wide receiver trade that's been made in the last week that all somehow could show up on the Texans' front doorstep here. We know that they're going to face Devontae Adams a week from tomorrow on Thursday Night Football. We know they're going to face DeAndre Hopkins in Week 16 on the Saturday before that Christmas game against the Ravens. And there's a chance, if the Texans go on to win the division, there's a real chance that they could see the Buffalo Bills in the playoffs, and that's where Amari Cooper factors in, especially when we saw these two teams already play, and the lack of wide receiver help for Josh Allen was the storyline of that game.
Well, the other thing, too, is that if you think back to, what's DeAndre Hopkins really going to do, or how much does he make them better? All I know is that DeAndre Hopkins was very specifically one of the guys that got Jalen Petrie moved away from being a full-time safety. It's just that because Jalen Petrie bit hard on some double moves by DeAndre Hopkins at the end of last season, that Will Levis just didn't have the arm to cash in on. There could have been a couple lethal blows by DeAndre Hopkins, but Will Levis just couldn't deliver the ball. That's what I would worry about, is that he is still a really vicious route runner. He's still really good at the 50-50 balls, all that stuff. He's never been an incredibly fast guy, so any loss of speed or separation doesn't matter as much when you've got a guy like Mahomes throwing on the football. So, yeah, I think it's a very real consideration that this is a guy that's going to make the Chiefs a better team when you face them, especially late in the season when, I don't know when Hollywood Brown comes back.
Right.
Maybe that's one of the first times he comes back.
Yeah, I feel similar, Seth. I feel similar about Hopkins to the Chiefs as I do something you and I talked about earlier on the show, the potential for Matthew Stafford, say, to go to the Vikings, where he's going to a team, if he were to go. There are Matthew Stafford of the Vikings trade rumors, so we were just hashing him out earlier on the show. Kevin O'Connell of the Vikings is a head coach that gets the best of every quarterback that he coaches. He has, undeniably, he's done that in Minnesota. Similarly, I feel like you can take any wide receiver from wherever janky situation they were in, plunk them down in Kansas City, and Andy Reid is going to get the best version. Like, Mecole Hardman got a big contract from the Jets, and they were done with him midway through last season. They just bring him back in, and he catches the game-winning pass in the Super Bowl. They traded for Kadarius Toney and got something Kadarius out of him Toney. For a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there were people who delusionally thought that Kadarius Toney all of a sudden was a changed man and like, oh, no, he's a linchpin.
Right.
He's a linchpin on this. I was like, no, they got the absolute best out of him. Nobody was able to get anything out of him before. No,
Tony's a clown. Like Hopkins is a pro.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So
they'll get the best out of him.
They will get the best out of him, I think. And that's concerning if you're really any team in the AFC. But the only one I care about is the Texans. That's concerning if you're a Texans. The only silver lining is you're not going to see him in those two Tennessee games. But I think you can beat Tennessee. Even they've got rags at quarterbacks. They got nothing. I wonder how
the offensive line could handle Tennessee. Actually, no, their defense is pretty solid.
They're actually not a bad roster, but their quarterback play is so bad. That's why they're 1-5. I wonder how Calvin Ridley feels today. Because I'm guessing Calvin Ridley signed a big deal to go to Tennessee. I'm guessing in part because Hopkins was there and not like I'm guessing Calvin Ridley isn't feeling today like, oh, cool, now I'm going to get all the targets. Like, no, your life just got a whole lot harder, Calvin Ridley. Like, you're the only guy they got to worry about now offensively in that receiving core.
No, I think he probably is like trying to figure out a way. Like, how come it couldn't have been me?
Yeah.
Have I not done enough to show you?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yep. So it's on to the Colts for the Texans. Here was D'Amico Ryans on his coach's show talking about the magnitude of this Colts game coming up.
Man, you couldn't say it any better, right? Huge game for us, division opponent, rival game. We know they're coming in after us, and I love that, you know, you don't want to lose, but I love that our guys are a little ticked off going into this game. Like, man, you got, you know, this game for first place in the division in our house, like it means everything. So how we show up, what's our attention to detail? Like we can't come back in here next Monday and talk about, oh, we have to get this done.
Right.
This is the most important game of our season right now.
Yeah, it's for all the good the Texans have done so far this season, and it's been a 5-2 that's been very much under a microscope so far by everybody, and I think rightfully so. I think there's some big things they needed to clean up early in the season, and there's some huge things they need to clean up now, but they're still 5-2. Did not expect to be sitting here with the Colts right on our ass in week 8 to where this was a game that will be if the Colts win, it's a virtual tie they're both 5-3. You know, like that's for all the winning we felt like we've had, I did not expect to be here in week 8 with Anthony Richardson being 60 minutes away from being tied with the Texans this season.
Well, I think that if you look at just the way Richardson played last week, went 10 for 24 for 129 yards, lost the fumble. He's completed 10 or fewer passes in 3 wins this season, and yet they've won those games. Yeah. So one of the things that he did was like he spun out of pressure and extended plays against the Dolphins, and it's not going to look like conventionally good or winning quarterback play at all, but he has the ability to lose you a game but also keep you in the game, and at any given moment he might reel off a pass that's unlike any pass anybody's ever thrown before for a touchdown. It's just, there's nothing. Normally, I'd be going into a game saying, wow, this guy has only thrown for more than 50% completion rate in one game this year.
Yeah.
He's at a career 53% completion rate. This year, he's below 50%. Mm-hmm. And yet, on any given Sunday, he terrifies me.
Yeah.
Because physically, he can do things that other people can't do. It's not a recipe for winning football in the long run or anything, but on any given Sunday, he's just a headache and a nightmare.
He only completed 9 against the Texans in that game, and they almost won it. Because 3 of them were for 54 yards or longer.
Because he airmailed the most wide-open receiver that's ever been.
Yeah.
He airmailed a receiver who had 20 yards of green around him.
Yep.
It was Thank you, Anthony Richardson.
He had a good game here last year in week 2 before he got knocked out with a concussion. Speaking of that week 1 game, here was D'Amico Ryans on his coach's show talking about what can you take from that game, the win over the Colts in week 1.
Yeah, there are definitely things I think you carry forward. Like hopefully we can still establish a run, but they know us well, we know them well, so of course they'll try to, you know, put more resources towards stopping the run. They have to, right? And for us, defensively, like, they threw the ball over our head a couple of times, so they have to be looking at that again. Like, man, can we get those same plays again? If not, you have to try them, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to be ready to defend those plays. And, of course, there will always be wrinkles off of what you've shown your opponent. You try to add some wrinkles to see if you can, you know, hit them another way to try to get some explosive play.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the first deep shot downfield to whoever D'Angelo Ross is covering in this game. I'm terrified of that.
And that's one thing, like, Alec Pierce has, I think he's at the second highest yards per catch. Like, Alec Pierce is, just as we saw with the against the Texans, he's a very viable deep threat.
Huge.
And they don't go to him a lot, but they're mindful of that.
Yeah.
And if you screw up, if you make mental errors on the back end, if you bite on a double move, yeah, they're going to get you. And Anthony Richardson's very capable of doing those things. So the big play on defense is of crucial importance this week. This team can slaughter you with a deep shot.
No doubt. The timing for this game for the Texans going against the Colts, we'll see. From a Texans perspective, the timing is poor because you're going to be missing Nico Collins. And Nico has evolved into a Colts killer. He's evolved into basically what T.Y. Hilton was to Texan fans. He has been that to Colt fans over the last few games, these two teams, really since C.J. Stroud got here, games against the Colts have been just a feast for Nico Collins. And conversely, the Colts are starting to get healthier here. The two big names, one on either side of the ball, that they've been missing the last few weeks, which again makes their 4-3 record right now pretty impressive. That they've been doing it without DeForest Buckner, who's been on injured reserve. He's expected to return to practice this week, Seth. That is very bad news for the interior of the Texans' defensive line. Now, he was out there in Week 1, and the Texans did a lot of good things offensively. But he's expected to return. He's a really good player. Jonathan Taylor will try to return to practice this week for the Colts. He's been banged up as well. Which one of those is bigger for this game, getting Buckner back or getting Taylor back? Like, if you're a Texan fan, which one do you want to see less? Like, do you... Only one can.
I want to see. I'm torn because, you know, that first week, I had real high hopes for the interior offensive line with some of the work they did against those offensive tackles.
Yeah.
They had some really good snaps against Grover Stewart. And it was like, okay, this might be a different version of the Texans' offensive line. Maybe there's something about the Colts that they can recapture and they can look at, okay, what went wrong? Because the Colts did some things that confused the Texans on the offensive line, and ultimately it didn't win the game for them or anything, but it was teams started copying it almost immediately when they saw how shaky the Texans were at picking up blitzes and what have you. So maybe they can recapture a little bit of that. So I'm going to be more worried about Jonathan Taylor than I am DeForest Buckner.
Yeah, they really shut Taylor down the first time these two teams played. 16 carries, 48 yards for Taylor the first time. So we'll see what happens. Noon kick here on Sports Radio 610 on Sunday. Again, you guys are continuing with these texts. Not going to read that the O-line for the Texans would fall for the banana in the tailpipe. It's a Beverly Hills Cop reference, everybody. That's what that is.
How do you fall for the banana in the tailpipe, though? You can't be aware of it, right?
No, fair
like
point.
Somebody, they slip it in while you're there. So I'll give the Texans offensive line a pass on that one.
Okay.
I think that would people feel comfortable doing it to them knowing that they're not going to be able to chase you down and beat you up? Yes.
Right.
I feel comfortable with that.
Right.
I feel like the Texans offensive line, when they find out that you put a banana in their tailpipe, would get very litigious. They would sue you immediately.
Oh, yeah.
You have no fear of like physical retribution.
Physical
or
harm. Yeah. Yeah. I bet the Texans O-line uses the huddle to talk about their feelings. Not going to read that. Okay? Jeez. You guys are relentless.
Laramie's talking to Titus. I just feel like they're singling me out with these false starts, and it just doesn't seem fair.
Got a target on my back.
Just feels like everybody's out. It's just like I can't, I try to do things the right way, and they just keep bringing up old stuff.
The O-line needs Joe Mixon to open their pickle jars for them. Ha 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 Oh, man.
They need a Gumba Wally to open their pickle jars for them. That's who they asked to do that. Hey, we need a pass blocker.
Yeah.
Should we bring in a sixth offensive lineman? God, no.
Who's?
We've got a 30-year-old reserve running back that I trust more against defensive linemen than any of these godforsaken fools.
Like every good NFL team, you ask them, who's your best pass protector? And it's like the left tackle, the right tackle, maybe a Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame interior guy. Texans. Dario Gumba Wally, he's our best pass protector.
Yeah. We really want to run the ball this week. Should we experiment with some six offensive line packages? No, I think Tank Dell coming inside to block is probably better than anybody on the offensive line right now. So let's just go ahead and do that. Hey, these tight ends don't seem to know their ass from their forehead when it comes to pass blocking. What should we do with them? Whoever Laramie's supposed to block, we need to preserve his. We need to preserve Laramie Tunsil's pressures stats. So let's just be sure that we have tight ends and running backs blocking the defensive ends instead of anybody but Laramie. We need to preserve his ego. Yes.
Somewhere along the way, the slew of texts coming in went from being offensive line texts to Sean texts. Sean sips his beer with a straw. Sean puts a straw in his can of Diet Coke, and people are not on my side about the gloves and the crawfish either. As expected. They're like,
is there something? Speaking of cola, I was just thinking about this the other day when I was sneaking in a super meal. I always feel so weird about it, but I always get a Diet Coke if I supersize anything, and somehow it just feels right.
Yeah.
Like it just that. You know what it does? It releases me to enjoy all the other crap that I'm putting into my body. Because I know that the sugar ultimately like just shoves it way over the top. And I know that they probably put 19 packets of sugar in everything else that doesn't even taste sugary.
Right.
There's something about me drinking a Diet Coke with all those extra chemicals that somehow makes it just negates it. It cancels everything out.
For me, I do the same thing. And for me, it's because it's a microcosm of my actual life where it's like, I'm like being 30% responsible right now. You know, that's
pretty good. Yeah.
That's how I've gotten. That's what I've been throughout my years on Earth here, like 30% responsible.
It's like if I have a Diet Coke now, then I can have 7 Egg McMuffins tomorrow morning.
Bingo. Thank you. Uh-huh. Touchdown. You make miracles happen. All right. The offensive line is catching all kinds of heat. Who is catching the most heat on the Texans right now? We got to do a heat check here. Who is catching the most heat on the Texans right now? We will discuss coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast. Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, this is an interesting one. Devin White, linebacker who spent 5 years in Tampa Bay, was a Super Bowl champion there, was a really good player on that championship team back in 2020, Pro Bowler in 2021, signed with the Eagles this offseason to a one-year deal and never played a snap for them, was released by the Eagles earlier this month. He is a Houston Texan. The Texans have signed Devin White. Have not seen the terms of the deal. I'm guessing it's a one-year deal. But this is an interesting one, Seth. This is a guy who has played some pretty good football in his career. Not so much as of late. I don't know what happened in Philadelphia, but they chose to keep rolling with N'Kobe Dean as their main inside linebacker there. And it's been a good choice. N'Kobe Dean's had a good year for them this year. But Devin White, he's been on the market for a few weeks now. He got cut on October the 8th, so he's been out there a couple of weeks. And he's somebody that when he hit the market, I was like, all right, this might be somebody the Texans take a look at. With the whole, I feel like a theme today, Seth, has been so-and-so is going to get the best version of this guy. Like Kevin O'Connell is going to get the best version of whatever quarterback. Andy Reid's going to get the best version of DeAndre Hopkins, who's now a Chief, by the way.
Yeah.
This is a position group, I feel like, where if you're going and signing a guy, especially a guy who's played at a high level before, I feel like D'Amico Ryans could get the best version of Devin White.
The best version, and okay, what does
whatever that is
mean?
Now, yeah,
right. Because he signed his deal with the Eagles was 1 year, $4 million. You know, like he was not regarded as, I think, the name brand appeal of him making those plays on a Super Bowl caliber team. He's like a very boomer bust player. He makes a lot of tackles for a loss. He'll get QB sacks. He's athletic as hell. But when it comes to old school linebacking, like coming up and just taking on a pulling guard and stuff like that, he's not quite that guy. He needs to have room to run. Ideally, he would be behind a bunch of huge Vita Vea types that keep blockers off of him. Like, he's not going to beat blockers once they get their hands on him. So I think that but he adds an element of athleticism and explosiveness and playmaking ability that probably really intrigues D'Amico. And as a blitzer, he can be lethal. I guess my biggest concern is, is this bad news for Christian Harris?
Well, or
is this something that, okay, or Aziz Alshire is going to be out longer than we thought? And because I don't think they necessarily signed Devin White thinking we need to replace Neville Hewitt or Phil Hansen completely. But they need bodies and they need guys that can make plays. So yeah, very intrigued by how D'Amico chooses to use them.
Yeah. Well, now D'Amico Ryans will meet with the media later today. And I guess the question would be, do we get anything more than Devin's a good player and we feel like he can help our football team? Do we get anything more than that out of D'Amico?
I'll be intrigued by the positives that D'Amico talks about. Cause I do think that, you know, like all those things, the type of player he is, mm-hmm. You know, he's like, you'd think he should be better in pass coverage than he is, mm-hmm. just because he's so athletic, but he hasn't really been great in pass coverage. That D'Amico's going to really speak about the highlight stuff of him and the positive attributes. And I wonder, how much D'Amico thinks, okay, maybe if he's used appropriately, we just got to put him in the... He's going to say something like that. We got to put him in the right spots to be able to make plays.
Yeah. I mean, he's... I'm really intrigued by this to see how... I'm more intrigued by what it means to other linebackers on the team than I am Devin White at this point. Like, that to me... I guess what would be the biggest concern out of the... If a big reason for signing Devin White is because of injury concerns within the linebacker unit, are you more concerned about, if you had a choice between having one healthy for the rest of the year, Christian Harris or Aziz Alshire, who is it?
Oh, Aziz Alshire.
I think so, too. I think so, too. And yet I think of what Christian Harris's upside is and go, well, he might be able to get by with Neville Hewitt as the...
I think, well, the problem is, all right, then you're going to have... You'd have Henry Toa playing the mic, I'm guessing. Because Christian Harris does his best when he can just play football.
Yeah.
And part of that's just him being a younger player, but because you want to absolutely use the athleticism to his biggest advantage. You'd also do, but you don't want to take Christian Harris off the field on third down.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot that goes on that you don't notice with Aziz Alshire in getting everything right pre-snap that will start to... It'll start to accumulate over ensuing weeks if he doesn't come back. So there's a certain steadiness there with Aziz Alshire that I just trust more.
I would agree with that. I think what will be more intriguing with D'Amico today, because obviously the media is going to ask about this signing. And if you're just tuning in, Devin White, former Pro Bowl linebacker for the Buccaneers, cut by the Eagles this season before he even played a snap for them, is now a Houston Texan. I think the more interesting question, if somebody is inclined to do so, is the follow-up after D'Amico talks about the signing and why we did it and what he thinks of him as a player. Is there anything going on with the current linebackers that necessitated this signing?
Right.
They will not get a good answer to that question, but I'm anxious to see what the answer is.
Right, because they're all... So you go into the game last week and you had limitations, and I think that for the most part, they did a good job defensively of covering up some of those limitations. D'Angelo Ross is going to be D'Angelo Ross is D'Angelo Ross. And that's not an insult or anything. It's just like their teams are going to try to pick on D'Angelo Ross. So you got to try to limit it as much as possible. And likewise, I think they did a pretty good job of limiting the exposure of the linebackers in coverage. And yet it was a steady diet of slants and routes over the middle of the defense. Yep. Sometimes that's on the safety, sometimes it's on the pass rush not getting there. But linebackers can make life a lot more miserable back there in that. At some point, I think they just want to get as much athleticism on the field as possible.
Nick is going to be very active in markets like this one that they signed Devin White, like guy who's been discarded from a team. This is how Derek Barnett wound up a Texan last year and this year in a way. Like, Derek Barnett was waived, and Nick picked him up. Now, they're not all going to work. They picked up Tier Tart last year. Didn't really get on the field and do much for them, but I thought at the time it was a good signing for what it was. Adrian Amos, the safety, got cut by somebody, and they picked him up last year, and he got in some games for the Texans. Like, Nick, almost similar to like what Dana Brown was doing with the Astros after the trade deadline this year. Like Nick is going to play in those markets where he might be able to find a guy on the margins who can give you some really good snaps.
You know what's nice about Nick being so active? It's made it more fun for me when I watch other NFL teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tavier Thomas recovered the onside kick the other day in the Bucks-Ravens
game. The Tampa Bay game, he did?
Yeah. I was like, Tavier, there you go. Good job, man.
Yeah. Texans legend. Yes.
Yes.
Tavier Thomas.
It's cool. I'm watching other games, and I've got to keep like the Texans transaction history open so I can remind myself of when and where they were with Nick Caserio.
You keep your transaction history open, it doesn't crash your computer. That's a long list. That is a long list. So we'll see. I think the big question for a lot of Texan fans, especially on the heels of teams in the AFC continuing to make wide receiver deals, DeAndre Hopkins today, the latest. But does Nick make a deal as you demanded him to last week? Does he make a deal in the secondary? How serious is Kamari Lassiter's injury? Can you keep rolling D'Angelo Ross out there as your CB2, I'll call it, with Stingley as CB1 here? I don't think you can. And your schedule definitely gets amped up here in the near future with respect to who you're playing. Aaron Rodgers, and I know he's not Rodgers from 3 years ago, but you're playing Aaron Rodgers in a week. You're playing Jared Goff the week after that. You're playing Dak Prescott the week after that. Down the road, you've got Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, Tua possibly. He's coming back. Like, you got a lot of guys on this schedule coming up that if you're rolling D'Angelo Ross as your second cornerback out there, that's going to be a big kill spot for these teams.
I'm not worried about Aaron Rodgers. And you know why, Sean?
Why?
Because he didn't confess to eating his boogers on the Pat McAfee show. Mm-hmm. I thought that could have been a moment where, in confessing that he was eating his own boogers, that maybe whatever psychological cloudiness there is that's holding him back, he might have just pushed on through it.
Yeah.
And he would have come out a completely different person. But no, I think he's going to continue to eat boogers and play the way he's been playing.
Yeah. Text message, Devin White signing makes me feel like Harris isn't coming back this year. That's, you know what? And when you described his style of play, Seth, he feels like much more of a Harris type than he does a... You know, obviously, like a classic Mike linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, he's an incredible athlete.
Yeah.
He's just very boomer bust. There's a little bit. You know what he is? He's Kamu Grugier-Hill on steroids.
That's a name that popped into my head when you were describing like an elite version of Kamu Grugier-Hill.
Where, they show up and they do some really good things, but the plays you don't notice them. It's because they're really taken out of the play.
Yeah.
They've just been taken completely out of the play. So you only notice the good stuff.
Yeah.
But the other thing, too, is that Hansen's been injured a lot in his career.
Yes.
So I don't think that they probably, looking at the current depth and without knowing when and where Christian Harris and Azeez Alshire are coming back, they might be looking at it and thinking, like, look, we can't sit pat here and just roll with these backups. Like, we've got to be sure we've got some depth.
What's your trust level in D'Amico, former linebackers coach, getting that version, that getting whatever the ceiling is for Devin White in 2024, getting that out of him?
I do like it, especially as long as everybody's healthy. I think there's times where you're going to want him in there instead of Neville Hewitt for sure. And when you want more athleticism on the field, that, maybe it's Devin White and Hansen. There's other times maybe where it's Devin White and Neville Hewitt. I just don't know. I think that, when they cut Rashad Weaver, the defensive end, yesterday, I thought, okay, corresponding move might be Jeff Okuda or Christian Harris comes back from injury.
Yeah.
Today they signed Devin White. Yeah. So I feel like, all right, it's Wednesday. That's probably it. I don't think we're going to get Christian. You sign a linebacker especially. I don't think we're going to get Christian Harris.
Oh, I had no anticipation of that at all. Yeah, Christian Harris was coming back this week. But
it
you're
stinks
right.
Because a lot of people had a little bit of a false, based on somebody reading something on the Texans website, they thought Christian Harris was coming back, but I don't think there's any validity to that.
No, man, and it's reaching a bit of a breaking point, especially in light of this signing by the Texans, to where it's like, okay, do we have to get to a place psychologically where, well, Christian Harris just, where we write him off? Like, if he comes back, it's gravy, that kind of thing, you know?
Hey, Sean.
Hey,
yesterday,
I
for the first time, maybe since I was like 15 years old, I was taking a look through like the Billboard Top 100. And
songs?
I gotta tell you, I think it was good. It was good for Brandy and I because I think I felt a little less old. Okay. I was into like half the songs in the top 20.
Did you know them or did you just
get into I knew
them?
Some of them. I'd kind of heard them, yeah. You know, but like I think the things going on is you can't tell the difference anymore between country and blues and rap and everything's just kind of fused and I'm kind of into it.
Right.
I'm listening to Jelly Roll. I'm listening to The Weeknd. I'm listening to freaking Hozier.
You.
And yeah, okay. Yeah.
Can you? Did you put a playlist?
Bruno Mars is all of a sudden like doing. Bruno Mars is all over the place, and I had no idea that that was a thing anymore. But it's him with like 8 different artists in the top 20.
You need to put a playlist out there for people. You know what I mean?
I said we were doing it for my wife's volleyball team, okay. So we're having to come up with a radio-friendly version of it. And there are a couple that, even with a radio-friendly version, you can't.
It's tough.
Yeah, like parents are not going to approve of this.
No.
It's too clear what is filled in by that space.
What's being implied, all right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. If you missed it, latest news. Devin White is a Houston Texan linebacker. We'll talk a little bit more about that. It's been a big newsy day around here that we'll kind of sum things up as we welcome the guys from In the Loop in. Also, we'll circle back. Who's getting the most heat right now with the Texans? We'll talk about that as well. Final segment coming up. Stay there.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Some updates. If you missed it in the previous segment, Devin White, linebacker, former Pro Bowler for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Cut by the Eagles during the season without having taken a snap for them after signing a contract with them in free agency. He's a Houston Texan. He signs a deal with the Texans. Terms not disclosed yet. We haven't found it. But he will provide some depth at linebacker. Some injury updates. This is from Aaron Wilson of KPRC2. Kamari Lassiter, outlook positive, nearing return from scapula fracture. Okay, so that's the first I've seen of the actual... I knew it was a scapula injury. I hadn't seen that it was a fracture. Jimmy Ward remains out with a groin injury. Christian Harris not being designated for return this week, but making progress. Maybe the most important update of all, Nico Collins on injured reserve with a hamstring injury and out at least 2 more games, is doing well in his recovery with no setbacks per sources. And there's optimism that the original 3 to 4 week diagnosis is on track. If that were the case, then that would mirror what we were hoping the best case scenario was, which is this hamstring. Right. Not that they were hoping and guessing it would only be 4 weeks, but they had a pretty good idea that it would be a short-term thing, and they're being overly cautious.
We got to put this thing on the cooler just let him fully recover and feel really, really, really good for multiple weeks before he comes back. I mean, you look at Mike Evans. Mike Evans had been fighting his way through a hamstring injury, ends up tweaking it in his first touchdown catch in the game on Monday night, and then later on a near touchdown catch, just is writhing in agony on the ground, and it looked way worse. So that's what I think the Texans are trying to avoid. I will applaud them for their discretion if that's what they're doing, if they're just being cautious with a hammy. I don't want to see that happen to Nico Collins. Having him for the whole second half of the season is more valuable than in any given game right now.
Yeah, I think we're learning how valuable he is to this offense. These last couple games, you know, it's particularly against Green Bay.
Aaron Wilson had reported that Christian Harris is not being designated for return this week about an hour ago. And then the Devin White news comes in, and that all makes sense. I think that right now you're thin at linebacker, depending on where Henry Toa is and Azeez Alshire. And now with Christian Harris definitely not coming back, you've got guys in Neville Hewitt and Jake Hansen who are, you know, have done well in replacement, but Hansen's been injured a lot in his career. Neville Hewitt's got weaknesses in pass coverage that the Texans have done a good job of minimizing, but I think just having as many bodies back there and having as much depth as possible, given their current state of affairs, is probably a smart move.
Yeah, they need some depth. They need depth at corner, too. Hopefully Nick's not done. Hopefully this is a very busy couple of weeks. The trade deadline is 2 weeks from yesterday, so there's 13 days left to get deals done.
And I think this is another one. I don't want to say it's like it's not quite like Cam Akers, because Cam Akers had the 2 Achilles tendon tears and all that, but the name appeal of Cam Akers does something to you when you find out that the Texans signed Cam Akers. You're like, ooh, Cam Akers. Yeah. Devin White has that same name appeal.
Yeah.
Just as a reminder, He signed a 1 year, $4 million deal with the Eagles, and then the Eagles didn't use him at all.
Yeah.
So he's still, I think, very capable of making very athletic, impressive impact plays. But as in terms of being an overall linebacker, he's got a lot of weaknesses in his game. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how DeMeco uses him, and whether it's situationally, whether he ends up starting the game, I don't know. But it's interesting. It's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm looking like his Wikipedia page, like before the 2023 season, his last season in Tampa Bay, he requested a trade because he couldn't come to a contract agreement with the Buccaneers. And it turns out the Buccaneers were probably accurate in their stance in signing him to a long-term deal. The market spoke, as you just pointed out, Seth. The market spoke on Devin White. He was worthy of a one-year deal for a few million bucks. Yeah. And then the Eagles spoke even louder, saying, "You're not worthy of being on our football team right now." Yeah. So this is a bit of a reclamation project. I don't think it's a major project. If it doesn't work out, then they'll roll with whatever they have at linebacker. This isn't some sort of signing that's going to decide the season or anything. But I like. There's low risk here.
No. I definitely think this is what Nick Caserio would say is, "Hey, let's get him in the building."
Yeah.
And whatever they're paying him, I'm sure it's very reasonable. And get him in the building and see what he can do and how they like it. And we'll find out this weekend exactly what they're thinking about him.
Yeah.
But he can definitely come in and play right away. So that's I'm intrigued by this.
That's interesting.
I could totally see him being a guy that comes up with a huge tackle for a loss in a key moment.
You think he's active on Sunday? You think he comes in and plays right away?
I'd have to look at the active game day roster. Who are the linebackers who were active but did not
play? Jamal Hill was active because he needed to be, and he'd been inactive when all the linebackers were healthy.
Yeah, I think he might take Jamal Hill's spot.
Yeah, yeah.
They would just trust him as a veteran more so.
Yeah.
And yeah.
We'll see. So it's going to be interesting. So DeMeco Ryans meets with the media today. This will be a topic. Devin White. C.J. Stroud meets with the media today. I'm sure both of their press conferences are going to be very forward-looking. I can't remember a Bobby Slowick press conference I've been more looking forward to than the one tomorrow, because I feel like A, he's got a lot of answers. He's got a lot of questions to answer. And B, I feel like among all the heat that's being dished around in the organization right now, we felt a ton of it on the offensive line on the text page over here today. Laremy Tunsil gets a lot of it as sort of the lightning rod of the offensive line. D'Angelo Ross catches a lot of strays, but he's D'Angelo Ross. Like, he's just out there trying to do his job. Chris Strouser is finally climbing that list, the offensive line coach. Bobby Slowick is the target for a lot of the heat right now.
Yeah, ultimately, you know, when it comes down to whether you're blaming him for the play calling itself or the overall function of the offense, I hate splitting hairs on this. Like, I don't necessarily have issues with his specific play calls. I have issues with the competence that the players have in executing those play calls. Yeah. They don't look like a team that's ready to play.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it all boils down to he's not doing an adequate job as an offensive coordinator.
No.
There's too many underperforming people right now. In terms of the actual play calls themselves, yeah, I would echo what Clint and Tony Romo was saying during the broadcast and just multiple other people that they're doing all these, the condensed formations where you've got the tight ends and the wide receivers all bunched in, where you're just going to be road graders and maul people somehow. It's not working out.
No.
It ain't working out. You got to spread it out and let CJ cook.
Yes.
And then let these offensive linemen, if they get some natural space from being, from spreading things out, they can work the angles.
Mm-hmm.
They can get on a guy's, you know, pull and just chip a guy enough to keep him out of Joe Mixon's way. They can do all that stuff. They just can't do the actual old school stuff.
Yeah.
Whether it's zone running, old school blocking, or old school man blocking, they're not good at that part of it.
No. Text message, what do you guys think the Rams will get for Cooper Kupp if they trade him? Seth, you laid out the numbers with him earlier. He sounded like a back of the football card that has a Hopkins flavor to it, where super productive like 2-3 years ago. But been banged up a lot. Been done some things when he's on the field, but he's been banged up a lot. The Rams are reportedly hoping to get a two. They're gonna have to pick up a lot of salary to get a two for Cooper Kupp, I think.
Yeah, I don't think he gets a two.
Yeah.
He hasn't been the same guy for a few years now. And you can blame, I mean, he's had Matt Stafford throwing him the football.
Yeah.
The circumstances aren't great, but like right now he looks like a guy who is just an absolute awesome Kupp Shanahan system receiver.
Yes.
When they had other really good players around him, but now he's 31 years old, and he's not that guy anymore. So I'm going to guess third round at best.
Okay. John Lopez, Reggie Atitula are here. We got a little taste of what it's like to do y'all's day part today.
Yeah.
Because you guys seem to get the best of the breaking news.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the best things about it.
Yeah, middays is ideal. It's the ideal time slot for breaking news. We got DeAndre Hopkins before we even went on the air today.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
And then we got Devin White signed, too.
Yeah, at the end. Yeah. Where's that music coming from?
Oh, that's somebody who had this thing on.
Oh, okay. Had the audio on your computer right there? Okay.
Was it Glorilla? Because I'm into her now, too.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I want to have conversations about this. What has brought you to the Glorilla High?
My wife was making a mixtape just to play during volleyball practice for her kids. And, you know, so we were like, all right, let's go through the top 20 songs. And I was pleasantly surprised at how much of the current top 20 songs I enjoyed. Partly because it feels, not with Glorilla, but with a lot of the other, everything's fused so much that I couldn't tell who the country singers were or the rappers or who, wait, is this rock or is this like new age techno? I kind of liked it. It was something for everybody.
Yeah, man.
Glorilla, I can't even play the radio friendly stuff because there's just too many words blanked out. but I enjoyed her.
Okay. Yeah. Is it the accent? Is it the Memphis accent that draws you in?
This is just flow in general.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
Yeah, as you can imagine.
I wouldn't have known that she has a Memphis accent.
Yeah. As you can imagine, Seth, you're getting a whole lot of support and love on the text page for your musical taste, because that's all people do on the text. Everybody's like, Seth, Jelly Roll? Come on, man. Like, do you listen to this? Like, yeah. All right, so I have a question.
I know nothing about Jelly Roll at all. I have no idea
Except
what
that
he
you
is.
You enjoyed him yesterday.
Is he? What is he though? Is he a country singer? Is he a rapper?
I think he's considered country. Like they when he comes to town, the 100.3, like the Morning Bull, goes out to the Jelly Roll concert and takes pictures with him.
This is what I make no apologies for enjoying any pop song that's in any genre, because look, they construct these things in labs, and it's like enjoying sugar. You're like, yeah, my brain's gonna enjoy it.
Right,
okay?
Saccharin,
so like, I don't try to put on airs anymore and act like I'm tough or no music or anything.
You're
like,
good,
I don't care if it's Taylor Swift or Glorilla or anybody
Amen,
else.
Man.
It's like, oh, I like this.
I find this enjoyable. Sorry.
Yeah.
So John Lopez, I have a question for you.
All righty.
I had a take earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see if you think I'm crazy about this.
Okay.
And I feel like you'll have strong feelings on it because, one, you are a Shohei Ohtani lover.
Well, I'm a fan.
You want the Dodgers to win the World Series because of Shohei Ohtani.
I think you're stretching it a little bit.
You like Shohei Ohtani.
I like Shohei Ohtani.
You like Shohei Ohtani.
I'd be happy for
Were you
him.
A fan of Fernando Valenzuela?
Oh, you have no idea.
Okay.
That's
ballpark
that's
probably.
That's wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And NBC, baseball on NBC every Saturday, and he was there. And, you know, Mexican-American, not born and raised not far from where my mother lived.
Yes. My take is that the reason I bring this up is Fernando Valenzuela passed away last night at the age of 63.
Okay.
Fernando Mania in 1981 was bigger than anything that's been going on in baseball, maybe since then, but definitely now with Shohei Ohtani. Fernando Mania was bigger than anything going on right now in baseball.
You looked at our doc. I put it on our
I just teased the topic on In the Loop.
It's going to be later in the show.
Okay.
There was nothing ever like it. There was nothing ever like it.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's ever been anything like it since.
For baseball.
For sports. Look, keep in mind,
okay, I
can dig deep on this because obviously it was my era. I was graduating high school in 1980. Well, I was in college in 1981.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, Hispanic Americans, Mexican Americans in particular, hated the Dodgers.
Right.
Because they built Dodger Stadium in Chavez Ravine, which is in the middle of their neighborhood, and basically sent out an entire neighborhoods. Of Hispanic Americans who live there.
I knew you'd have perspective on this.
It's the biggest thing ever in sports in terms of mania, and there's been nothing like it since.
I knew you would have good. Yeah. I had a feeling you'd approve of my take.
Okay.
I did not have a feeling that you would have a take that put it at Mecca.
No, it is. It is.
Yeah, he was like, I see your take and I raise your take.
He just went all in.
Yeah.
He pushed all the
chips. But you have to realize, like, the culture that, they hated the Dodgers.
Yeah. See, I
And then now, Hispanic Americans, Mexican Americans in particular,
right,
are probably the biggest fans of the Dodgers in America.
When is that? I'm anxious to hear this because I'm anxious to hear your perspective. Because my perspective was an 11-year-old kid in Connecticut watching baseball. You know what I mean? Like there, I didn't know the depths to which that all went.
No, it went deep.
Okay.
Deep. That's going to be at 11:40.
11:40, okay.
Yeah, that is absolutely one of the things that's popping.
Mm-hmm. That's popping. Yeah, that'll be on sure. Okay, 100%. Gotcha. All right, Seth, it's exactly 10 o'clock. Antibodies to you,
I want to talk more about Mexican baseball.
just pop back to the microphone. We'll have you on.
You know what? It is interesting, though, John. At this point, like you would have... Mexico does not produce as many Major League Baseball players as a lot of the other Latin American countries. Mm-hmm. And I've always been intrigued by that because it feels like with the population base and everything that it might be more. But like the Dominican Republic and in Venezuela, Dominican Republic especially, as 10% of Major League Baseball players are Dominican. But like, you know, like Jose Urquidy and guys like that are fewer and further between.
It's a lot, but it's not that much.
Yeah. They've got one more MLB player than Canada at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Are you looking at the numbers right now?
I'm looking at the numbers, okay. Yeah.
I thought you just had that off top.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
I believe yourself to be such a
I need to destroy Canada in this at the very least. I identify, as a Houstonian, I identify more with Mexican-American baseball players than I do Canadian baseball players. We need to take Canada down, damn it.
There you go.
These damn Canadians outperforming our Mexican-Americans.
Yeah. All right, Seth, I'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m., my friend.
Oh, yes. Antibodies. Let's do that. Yeah.
All right. We'll do it. I'll see you back here at 6. We will step aside now. We are out of time.